The Gospel of God, Romans chapter 1, verse 3, in parentheses, concerning his son Jesus, verse 2, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. You see that, John? So, the Gospel of God is all through the Old Testament. It is Isaiah chapter 53 has 12 verses. It's all about a person. You can go through and count the number of times Isaiah writes he, his, in those 12 verses. It's all about a person. The Ethiopian eunuch was reading Isaiah chapter 53 when he was approached by Philip. And he was asking, and he asked Philip, who does the prophet speak of himself or of another person? And Philip answers and says that, and it says that he preached Jesus Christ to the Ethiopian eunuch. He preached the gospel of God to the Ethiopian eunuch. Getting to the gist of your question there, just setting the background here. The gist of your question was, why is the word Gentile used in Romans, 15? 16, and not the word Greek. And I'll get there. Just setting the stage here. So, and I think we should actually back up to verse 8. Romans 15, verse 8. And I'm not going to read all these verses. Can everybody hear me okay? Not going to read all these verses. But this verse here is one that we use all the time, don't we? Get the lay of the land there, crown of righteousness. I'm in the middle of something right now, so you might want to relax, put your hand down, take it easy. And, okay, yeah. All right. So, Romans 15, verse 8 on your screen. We use this all the time to demonstrate that Christ's earthly ministry was to the Jews, the circumcision, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. And then, I don't know how many people have ever not read the next verse. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Whenever you see those 1, 2, 3, 4 words, as it is in written, that means it's in the Old Hebrew Scriptures, right? For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Okay, yeah, we're going to be moving over to Pure Grace Believers, so look for us over there, okay? And that's what we're doing right now. It's just somebody else's question. You know, it's another person's question being answered right now, and it is a Bible question. So you can stick around for that or not. Bad manners, man. So you see there, John, the context is Gentiles, as it is written, to follow up with what Mike was saying there. And I'm not going to read all of the rest. I'll post it on the screen if something catches my eye that I need to emphasize. You guys can read faster than I can read it out loud. And so again, there's what... And God's plan was, I'll just enter, something just popped into my mind. You know, this is one of those verses that I read dozens of times, and it didn't hit me until, you know, a long time later. So this is at the, next verse. This is the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24 and 25. Chapter 24, Jesus Christ prophesies about the 7 years of tribulation, and then in chapter 25, it's about the kingdom. And so there's the stage, and it's the sheep and the goat and their nations. These are Gentile nations, and when I get to the verse, and this is important to this question. So again, the context there of Romans chapter 15, John, where he's talking about Gentiles, it's not the Jews and the Greeks at that time. It's a historical biblical reference, if that makes sense. And here you see the fulfillment of the in text here in Matthew chapter 25 of the very first covenant promise that God made with, his name was still Abram at the time, Abram/Abraham, the very first one. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And here, during the tribulation, that's going to play out. Those Gentiles that blessed the Jews are blessed in return. And you see there, they don't know what they did. He's talking to the sheep. He's going to talk to the goats next. And
baptize them with fire.
Oh, did I miss it? Did I skip over it? I don't think so. Or maybe I missed it. Yeah, verse 34. Went right past it. So here we go. So, these sheep nations, he's talking to the sheep nations. Then shall the king, capital K king, Jesus Christ, returned to set up the kingdom on earth, the millennial kingdom of heaven on earth. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, for Gentiles. So back to Romans. Where were we? And I'll come in here. So again, the context is for Romans chapter 15. Working our way up to 16, I think. Sorry, getting my first poster going here. There's, well, and Isaiah, saith, now the God of hope, though believing the power of the Holy Ghost, verse 14, welcome back, Mike. If you guys talk to Mike in text, because he can't hear me. So the general gist of the Roman letter, back to Romans chapter 1 now. Hebs, he's a friend of mine from Facebook. He's a relatively new grace believer, relatively new to mid-Acts dispensationalism. 6-7 months now? And we all know new people that are getting into new grace believers in general are very, very zealous. They want to study. They want to know everything right now. And John is no exception. He asks great questions. He's a great Bible student. And he doesn't just take what people say. as truth. And that's a good thing. You know, there's a lot of grace preachers and teachers out there that say that all the time. They say, don't believe what I say. Don't believe what anybody says. Let the Bible be your final authority. And they say that. But, and they say it, and they're sincere when they do say it, but that's not really the general, that's not what they believe. What they really believe is, you should agree with me. You know? And so, I don't think Mike is one of those people, and I know I definitely aren't one of those people. So, John is a good Bible student, so everybody say hello to John Ebbs. He's a Canadian from Toronto. Toronto. Gotta say it right, the Canadian way. So, John, in general, the Roman epistle was written, I typed it in text, but I'll just go and, actually, probably 9 verse. And, so he begins to write the Roman epistle. And, I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. And then by the time we get to the end of the epistle, Romans chapter 16, so the entire purpose of the Roman epistle to take them from, to establish them. And at the end, they are stabilized. That's right, established. And so he's given them all of this doctrine. And I believe that Paul knew the full revelation of all the mysteries that were revealed to the church, the body of Christ, by the risen, ascended, glorified Jesus Christ through the apostle of the church, the body of Christ, Paul. He knew it. He had received all the revelations. But it wasn't yet the due time. We get hints of this doctrine in the Roman epistle. I believe that he wrote the Roman epistle in Acts chapter 20 and verse 3 timeline. Right? And he's there. He's Macedonia is in Philippi, and I'm not going to beat the dead horse on that and go off on another topic. But that answer the question as to why the word Gentiles is used versus the word Greek in the subject verse of Romans chapter 15 and verse 16. Am I in the right place? And now the mainstream midacts do not see any distinction between a Greek and a Gentile. They just think it's the same thing. Well, one covenant in particular. So, talking about Greeks again, and Greeks and the Gospel of God. That'll kind of be a twofold topic that's in my mind. So it all stems back to this very first covenant promise that God made with Abram, whose name was later changed to Abraham. And you see it involves a nation. And then in verse 3, God says to Abram, before the covenant of circumcision, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And then Paul calls this the gospel unto Abraham. Mm. I should know that verse, but I'm drawing a blank, so I'll do a quick search. Galatians chapter 3. And Galatians chapter 3 is all about promises. If you read that chapter, how many times is the word promises and in that chapter? And then in verse 8, let me back up with the full context. Well, we'll go right here. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Accounted righteousness. That's another way to define the word justification. Justify. Accounted righteousness is justification. I believe in that verse, Paul is referring back to Genesis chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. I don't want to lose my place in my Bible posted program, so I could just open up another one and take it back to Genesis. Unless somebody wants to post those verses for me, just so we can see what we're doing. Anybody else got their Bible posted program open? About a paper Bible. Anybody got a paper Bible open? That'd be good too. I do. Okay. Thank you, Mike. 5 and 6, I'm sorry. 5 and 6. Five. Okay. So I believe, just like in Romans chapter 4, this is the cross reference. And he, God, brought Abram forth. His name is still Abram. And now look toward the heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Verse 6. And he, Abram, believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So in Romans chapter 4, that's also the cross reference. Back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 again. And then moving into verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, again, a reference to Old Testament Hebrew scriptures. Foreseeing that God would testify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So the cross reference to that is back up in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. Okay. So, That's really what being a Greek in the King James Bible boils down to. A Greek in the King James Bible boils down to that. And Mike, it's getting late. I have Pure Grace Believers open. Can we move over there? It'd be a lot easier for me to do things from there in that position. So I'm going to go ahead and go on over there. That way Mike can do what he needs to do. And don't rush over there. I got the red dot of love on. See you over there. John, I'll invite you. The name of the room is Pure Grace Believers. If you're on a computer, which I believe you are, if the room of the name will be in next to my nick, and you can just click on that link if you're on a computer. Okay. Grace and peace, everybody. See you over in my room.
All right. I'm going to... I'm already over in the other room. pure grace believers. I'm going to go ahead and close this, but before I close it, I'm going to go over there and invite those of you that are in this room, send an invitation to you to Daryl's room, Delta Hotel's room, and that way it'll make it a little easier getting over there. And then when this room empties or is non-responsive, I will close this room down, follow Christ's pattern. And we'll all be in pure grace believers then. So I won't be able to hear you when I go over there to invite. So see you over there.
So he wants to talk about leading captivity captive. And we know that there's a cross reference, at least one in the Old Testament. So if you want to start working on that, Carlos has a unique way of doing, in a way it's proof texting, but in a way it's a great Bible tool. He does word searches in the Bible and finds some really interesting stuff when he does. And he does it different ways, and he's a real pro at it. So again, Carlos, I think the subject verse is going to be Ephesians 4, and John's question was how it relates to Psalm 68:18. And I don't know how to answer that, but I do have, when you ask the question in the room, in Mike's room, about that, do I need to, let me invite people here so we can crank in. Who would miss him? Andy here? Type of the one in the room. Carlos is here. Ed? Is Ed here? No, Ed. We lost Ed. Let's invite Ed. Gracie's here. Habs is here. Can't invite Liberty. Mike here. Mike's here. You invited Ed? He's asleep. Is this only his second week of vacation? Okay. Studies in Ephesians 4:8, it says, gave gifts unto men. And in Psalm 68:18, it says, thou hast received gifts for men. And it just hit me what makes that, why that is, John. In Psalm 68:18, it's future tense. In Ephesians 4:8, it's past tense. So Psalm 68:18 is a prophecy, and Ephesians 4:8 is prophecy fulfilled. Maybe. That just hit me as a possibility. Maybe, maybe not, because it is mystery, right? If we keep reading in Ephesians 4:8. Is everybody here? Oh, Ed showed up. Been working on your routine this weekend? And Vaughn fell out. Vaughn will be back. Vaughn is back. He was out and in quick. Yes, he does, Gracie. Yes, he does. He's been on the mic tonight, as a matter of fact. John Hebbs, Gracie, is a friend of mine from Facebook. He's a good Bible student in many ways. I'm not going to puff him up too much. He understands more than the mainstream. He's new to Mid-Acts. He's new to Grace Believers. And as such, like a lot of people in that position, me included, very, very, very zealous and wants to know everything that he can. He's been reading Jim Bracken stuff. I think one of the, and he's, maybe he wants to talk about that so you guys can put your thinking caps on about what is regeneration and what is born again. And, he's working through that. he's got some good questions on that as well. So he understands the difference between the gospel of God and the gospel of Christ. I think he's working on understanding the difference between the gospel of Christ and the gospel of the grace of God. He understands, I think, the difference between a far hence Gentile and a Greek. He may not have no wall with the Gog, okay? Well, actually, we're going to go there because now that you reminded me of that, we need to go the full route about this captivity captive thing to understand that. So why don't we do that? Why don't we do that? Where am I? Well, let's look at the Ephesians verses first to get a handle on it. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wish Brian was here. Isn't that Brian's verse? And Brian teaches that very well. The measure of the gift of grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And then the cross reference back to Psalm 68:18. Okay, so led captivity captive. Led captivity captive. We see that the cross reference is back in Psalms, so we know that he's, and here in Ephesians 4:8, Jesus Paul is indeed referencing Old Testament prophetic scripture, and then there's a comma, and the word "and" gave gifts unto men. The gifts are not prophecy. The gifts are mystery. And we'll come back to that if we need to. That just hit me as well there, John. So let's look at another thing that's been bandied about. Abraham's bosom. Okay. I'm going to call it up here. And I didn't prepare a lesson, so I'm just going to post the verses. And when I see something that I want to comment on or a verse that I want to read, I will interject.